Hey, welcome back, students, and those of you who have listened to the show before, I'm glad you're still with me. If this is the first time you're listening, welcome and thanks. I hope you'll be back. I'm D.A. Arliss, welcoming you to episode 076 of the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast, recorded on June 3rd, 2012. My goal as a guitarist and instructor with decades of experience is to raise the quality of my students and all guitarists' playing level and understanding. So here I am doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. First, I have to give you a little caveat. You're going to hear some whispery muttering in the background. No, I don't have friends here. It's my little bird. He's around the corner in the next room. I cannot close the door. And he may be falling asleep and muttering and chirping, so excuse the extracurricular noise. Anyway, I'm back after a week off. Thanks for the break. I needed it. I hope you Americans had a great Memorial Day holiday. Here in our apartment, I was nursing my sweetie, E-Rex. The week before, we thought he was going to have minor surgery, which turned out to be two procedures on consecutive days, and then a not-so-minor surgery. At one point, he was in excruciating pain. I'd say that was for a good part of Thursday and most of the weekend. He's emerged well. He didn't get out of bed until maybe Sunday. He's not 100%, but he's up to his usual activities, which is a good thing. He's healing well and doing much better. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers. We really appreciate it. We're hoping that his doctor visit to check on how he's healing, which is tomorrow, Monday. This will probably not get up online until then anyway. We're hoping that that's going to be his last appointment until he has to be prepped for his course of radiation in the fall. So we'll see what's going on. And by the way, I'm recording on a Sunday afternoon, very uncharacteristic, but my schedule seems to be getting rather fluid. So it's possible, not guaranteed, that I may abandon my Monday recording schedule and record over the weekends in future. And if I have a major change like that and my time in which I post the podcast online changes radically, I will surely make you aware of it. And that reunion I thought I might be hoarse from? Well, after the previous weeks of draining stress, my head just wasn't in it, so I skipped the reunion last night. We needed some downtime, and it was really just unfortunate timing because I was looking forward to it, but my priorities are my family over people for whom I have fond memories but haven't seen for decades and decades, so whatever. It was just unfortunate. I did plan to go to this rather momentous reunion, but I skipped out on it. I think here in the household, we were all the better for it. Now, perhaps the musical highlight of my very difficult past couple of weeks was that I was able to get a fresh set of DRs on one of my guitars. Woohoo! They are nothing less than delicious. Unadulteratedly delicious. And I usually only say that about some really, really good dark chocolate. So, of course, I don't play the other one, which needs new delicious DRs also. I'm such a bad person. I'm hoping this week I will have time to restring the other guitar. Then I won't be able to decide which one to play, and no matter what my choice is, my ears will be happy, happy, happy. Yeah, I know. Not much of a musical highlight, but the present circumstances considered, the strings were a big enough lift for me. It's just been a difficult couple weeks. This week, Anya is in the student spotlight. The question of the week is about my last podcast's suggestion for guitarists to listen to a lot of musicians who are not guitarists. News is about the fabulous new Epiphone S and not a 5 on the end. I don't know what's with me. And the take note is about an email I received about guitar lessons for a young man. And yes, my voice is a little squeaky, even though I didn't go to that reunion. I don't know what it is. It was squeaky all day today, so I'm sorry. It's not my usual dulcet tone. Hey, don't forget, if you're in the New York Metro, Northern New Jersey area, make it a point to visit the Mahwah Museum in Mahwah, New Jersey for the Les Paul and Mahwah exhibit. You have less than a month to see the full exhibit before it is reduced from the feature that it has been since September to a significantly smaller installation. The museum is open Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday from 1 to 5. I'm certain that if you speak to them in advance, they'll do what they can to accommodate private time in the museum for a group, if that's what you'd like to do. They were gracious enough to do that for me, and I would imagine they will still make the museum available to a group upon request and upon good scheduling. Don't forget the Les Paul Birthday Gala on June 9th. That's less than a week away also. If you're in the New York metro area, it will be at the Trustees Pavilion at the Ramapo College. Here's the latest info I have heard from it or about it. Lou Palo, Tom Doyle, Sandy Corey are all going to be playing. Here's the little news blurb I received just this past week in my email. Noted musicians Lou Palo, Tommy Doyle, and Sandy Corey will play live music at the Mawa Museum at the Mawa Museum's Les Paul 97th Birthday Gala on June 9th at 7:30 p.m. at the Trustees Pavilion of Ramapo College. The gala will feature wine, hors d'oeuvres, and light fare, as well as birthday cake. There will be a live and silent auction and raffle drawing. To purchase tickets to the gala, I'll put the link up on my website. The silent auction will feature many items of signed Les Paul memorabilia and two new unplayed Les Paul model guitars donated by Gibson. The live auction includes guitars signed by Eric Clapton, George Benson, and others, and another new Gibson guitar. For more information or to bid online, I'll give you the link there. And at 9:30 p.m., the museum will also draw the winning raffle tickets to raffle off two autographed guitars. Now, if you're interested to know more detail about this, and if you're listening to this podcast, not through your podcatcher of choice, but you're on my website listening to it, just go to my podcast page for, I'm pretty sure it's May, and what you'll find is a couple of podcasts ago, I listed the entire list at that time of the things that were going to be auctioned or available in the silent auction too, I think. So check that out. It's going to be great. There are a lot of really amazing guitars and other things. So don't forget about that. And you know, before you know it, I won't be annoying you about these things so much anymore, and I'll just be mentioning that the museum has a small installation. It would really be a shame if you're in this area and you don't get to see the full installation. I don't think all of those things are even amassed at the Les Paul Foundation. I think this is maybe a bigger collection than what they have there. So it's really a once-in-a-lifetime thing to do. So you've got a few weeks. I think the end of June, they're wrapping up the big exhibit and shrinking it down to a small permanent one. That's it for this week's intro. Now let's move along to the student spotlight. In this week's student spotlight, we find Anya, and you did so amazingly well, and I might add, against quite adverse circumstances. Anya has had crushing amounts of schoolwork. She's preparing to spend, I don't know if you'd call it a semester, but a good amount of time in school overseas right after school ends, and she's getting prepped for finals. They just recently had a school, sort of like a play. I wouldn't call it exactly a play. I'd call it a review, a theatrical review. And she has a rather full family and social life, and she rocked it out of the park this week. Anya, I was so thrilled, and being that you were my last student this past week, it really set the tone for driving home and starting my weekend. You just did fabulously. I hope that some other students will pick up on the recipe you employed for a great lesson and playing beautifully, which was spending time on their music. That's it for this week's student spotlight, short but sweet, and at least we're not green this week. Now let's move on to this week's news segment. Mm-hmm. this week's question is from one of my students who says he only listens to the guitarists he likes and he doesn't get why he should listen to people who play other instruments or sing. He asked to remain nameless after I told him I would probably use his follow-up question to my suggestion in the last podcast. So he's nameless. I'm not even sure if I'm going to say he's a guy or a girl. I'm calling him a guy. Well, I thought I was pretty clear 2 weeks ago, and I may have even mentioned that some of those hearing my suggestions would be strong-willed and just dismiss my suggestion out of hand. Case in point, right under my nose. Isn't that how it always goes? I will say that this is a very strong-willed individual, the person who posed the question, who resists sound instruction more than he embraces it. So everything takes him longer, and he has to work much harder at everything. He also thinks he accomplishes everything himself, and he's a self-made player. And of course he isn't. He's just a player that's kind of bullheaded and can't get with the program initially and has to just slave and kill himself when there are so many better ways to do things than his personal approach. That being said, there isn't any gain in parroting another guitarist. I understand if you have an idol, and I mean it in the loosest term, or you would love to play like so-and-so, but parroting somebody else's playing, if you want to do it just because you can then say you sound like so-and-so when you play, I don't understand what satisfaction that gives anyone, but I know it does. It's just a gap I have. I don't know why anyone would want to repeat something musically when they have the faculty and possibility of saying something new. It's just something I can't even comprehend. Yeah, of course, people want to sound like somebody else. I just don't understand. If it's someone with a distinctive style, you may want to employ how they became so proficient, if that information is out there for public consumption. But mimicking their style is sort of like forging a signature, in my opinion. So I guess maybe that's what it is. It seems like some kind of forgery or plagiarism when your whole inspiration is to sound like somebody else instead of sounding like you. Granted, although it takes a lot of work, it doesn't take as much work as having a unique sound. So maybe that's what I'm not seeing, and that's what's appealing to people. I'll go off on a small tangent here. I haven't seen or heard too much fabulous innovation in a majority of, but not all, young musicians playing, or young filmmakers' movies, or young fine artists' art, and so on. It may have to do with them not yet developing their own perspective and voice for their art. Some seem like they don't even know what I mean by saying developing their own voice. The strong-willed student I'm discussing in this episode is very much that way. He doesn't want to spend any time thinking, expanding, listening, contemplating what other musicians are saying when they play, etc. It's not just what note, but what's the context? He just wants to play and play what he wants, when he wants, the way he wants, and that's all he wants. Now, if you're mystified and don't agree with or like my suggestions in the last podcast about listening to other genres and mostly, and most definitely, non-guitarists, I'd like to refer you to one mind-expanding resource, and it is the Jazz Masterclass. It's an old TV series from NYU's jazz department, NYU New York University, for those of you not in the New York metro area. I keep forgetting sometimes these initials are not commonly known. It's not about whether you like jazz or not, so don't turn off because it's called Jazz Masterclass. It's about hearing brilliant musicians talk about music the way master chefs discuss recipes. There's a snippet of a video online, I think, and I will provide the link in the show notes. I know the DVDs are available on Amazon, but also check your public library. They may have the series. If you watch the show on public TV, and here in my area, it's on at strange hours. I think it's on sometime Friday, and maybe sometime Sunday or sometime Thursday and sometime Saturday. I know there's one weekend day and there's one weekday, and they're at crazy hours, like 2 in the morning, but, you know, I'm a musician. I'm up at that time, so I watch it whenever, if I'm up, I watch it when it's on. You will hear articulate people speaking about music in a way that is nothing less than mind-expanding if you will sit and listen and observe and get over the fact that maybe you're a guitarist and it's a bassist or a trumpet player or a clarinet player or a sax player talking. Just get over that it isn't the guitar and have a scintilla of sense to think that a master musician could possibly impart some knowledge or inspiration to you. So the Jazz Masterclass is just an example of how you, as a developing or even a well-developed guitarist, should be thinking about your playing, regardless of your genre preference, that is. There are plenty of other musically erudite sources for similar inspiration, and that's all I'm directing you to do and to embrace is inspiration as opposed to regurgitation. You know, I understand that perhaps a very young, very new guitarist may have that desire to play just like some guitarist they think is just the greatest guitarist alive. But what's even better than that is to be fresh and new and say something that hasn't been said. Because everything in the world there is to say about a musical passage has not yet been said. So with that said, let me say, if you have a question that you would like me to address in the podcast, whether I will enjoy it or not, please email it to me at guitartechnique@gmail.com. If I use your question, I will be glad to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick. And please be advised and note that although the podcast is the Guitar Technique Tutor podcast and my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, the email address is just guitartechnique@gmail.com, and I'll spell it once for you. guitartechnique@gmail.com. Thanks for your question, strong-willed student. I hope you've practiced well this week. I will put links to the Jazz Masterclass info online in the podcast show notes. And now let's move along to this week's news segment. In the news this week is some information from our good friends at the Epiphone Guitar Company. It is the Epiphone AJ220S. This is a beauty. I don't play a jumbo guitar. It's just too big for me. Most of my small male students and petite female students can't really enjoy a jumbo size guitar. But if you are built well and big enough to play a jumbo size acoustic guitar, this is one you should take a look at. It's got advanced jumbo sound. Now, this is a guitar that was introduced, this advanced jumbo acoustic guitar was introduced in 1936. Now, you know, not everything old is bad. It's got a 1-inch wider, 16-inch lower bout, rounded or sloped shoulder dreadnought shape, and a 25.5-inch scale length. The AJ was a powerful flat top referred to in later Gibson literature as an acoustic cannon. That's a great visual. I really like that. Today, this legendary design is carried over with Epiphone's new AJ220S acoustic guitar. This guitar has been designed with excellent balance. It is a bell-shaped guitar and it rings like a bell. The clarity is beautiful. The materials are fabulous. I mean, it's got premium materials and construction methods. It's solid Sitka spruce that not only sounds great right out of the box, but actually improves as it ages. And if you've been listening for any length of time, that's not a come on. That's a fact. Solid wood guitars sound great when you get them. There could be a small period of time where they don't sound quite as well as when you get them. Usually maybe somewhere 3 to 9 months in, depending on how much you've played it. And after that, they keep improving. The sound keeps improving. So that it's a solid Sitka spruce guitar is fabulous. Complementing this are back and sides made of select mahogany, fitted to a solid mahogany neck. So this is a guitar that's been thought out. It's been well made. The neck is the classic 60s slim taper D shape with smooth, fast satin finish. Now, some people I know have a big complaint about satin finished necks. They're really a little easier to play on. The shiny kind of finishes tend to cause your perspiring hand to adhere a little bit too much. So I'm a big fan of that slim taper D-shaped neck profile. I think they're very, very playable. There are some guitar necks that, honestly, I don't know what they were thinking of when they designed them. One of them is one of the models of Ovation guitar. I'll name it right out. I don't understand a lot of their design choices. But anyway, so they've got some other great features. This is a guitar you need to really check out. Of course, like all Epiphones, there's a limited lifetime warranty, and you have 24/7, 365-day customer service. This is a Sirius solid-top acoustic at a price that's not going to break you, and I have to say I was remiss. I didn't go online and check the price. I don't think it's going to be outrageous. I don't think you're in the high-end realm. I think it's going to be a respectable price. Let's see if we can give you anything else. The fingerboard is rosewood. That's one of my favorites. I like rosewood. I like ebony. Depends on what instrument it's on. You've got strap button, of course, vintage, and it's the vintage sunburst color. The body is gloss. The neck is satin. Don't let it throw you. Don't think it's a mismanufacture if you see it in the store. This is a great guitar. If you are big enough to play a jumbo, why don't you play this next time you're in your local guitar store? And if you're in the market and it suits your budget, Epiphone makes a very decent product. I have a very warm spot in my heart for Epiphones. They were the first decent guitars I got. So that's it for this week's news. Now let's move along to the Take Notes segment. Topic this week springs from an email exchange I had over the week with the grandmother, a very sharp grandmother, I might add, of a potential student. It's a little hard to capsulize, but I'm going to call this segment Choose Wisely. So I received this email early in the week from a woman about lessons for her grandson. She had obviously read over the website, as she was able to identify that I would call her grandson, let's call him Larry, an intermediate player. That indicated to me that she looked over the Your Playing Level page on GuitarTechniqueTutor.com. She had a comment about his present instructor and a comment about the method book he was using. She also said he had a chord book of some sort as part of his lesson materials. Now, just one disclaimer about that. I didn't even address that in her email. Some of my students have them, but I don't suggest a chord book, and there's no reason that any part of any of my students' lessons would necessitate a chord book, but be that as it may. This grandmother, let's also give her a fictitious name like Nancy, had several good questions and a few totally irrelevant questions for me. That's why I ask anyone contemplating working with me or even considering me as a teacher to call. A conversation is so much easier than three email exchanges, which are always incomplete and lack the back and forth really necessary to understand each other well, and to be able to interpret people's meaning. It was clear that Nancy had some musical background because she disapproved of the lesson book Larry's instructor was employing, and it just so happens I disapprove of it also. And she had detailed opinions about what was lacking in the instructor's work with Larry. So Larry is a little farther away than I choose to travel to teach at this time, so I didn't suggest that we meet for a consultation. That would be a waste of everybody's time. Nancy replied with a query about whether I'd teach him at my home, which is not an option, and then revealed that she has also begun guitar lessons. She didn't have anything negative to say about her instructor, so I suggested that perhaps her teacher could instruct Larry, to which she replied that she's in New Haven, I assume Connecticut, and perhaps she would have to resort to shuffling him or shuttling him back and forth for guitar lessons. Larry's in New York State. Now, there's a perfect example of how things get lost in the expressionlessness. There goes some thunder. Of email. I don't know if she was joking or serious. I have no idea whether she would really consider spending a day shuffling her grandson from New York State to Connecticut to have him have a guitar lesson and either shuffle him back the next day or have him stay a day or two. I don't know if she really meant it or not. Oh, she did say that, I'm sorry, she said that she's paying for Larry's guitar lessons rather than his parents, and that he only had them every other week. Now, there's another reason I can't consider instructing Larry. I teach weekly lessons, with one exception for an adult student I teach who travels almost constantly for his business, and we have him taking a very late evening lesson, and that works out for him, and it doesn't interfere with my schedule. I don't know if Nancy was part of Larry's choosing a guitar teacher or not. The real problem is that the choice was not well made. A rash or unresearched choice will always come back to bite you. One of Nancy's issues is what the teacher has Larry playing and how much time they spend on pieces. She also isn't content with the amount of emphasis the instructor puts on exercises, and by that I mean she's not content because it seems like she's saying she thinks there's too much of that. She also seems to think that the range of repertoire Larry is playing is too limited. I don't know, but I infer that Nancy thinks the instructor doesn't know what to do next or doesn't have a plan, etc., and that may be the case. It also may be that Larry needs a lot of technique work and that he's not succeeding in accomplishing it. Maybe, maybe not. There's even the possibility that Nancy is not as knowledgeable as she thinks she is about what Larry should be playing at this stage of his learning. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know why Larry's parents are not involved the way Nancy is. Surely it would be easier to deal with Larry's effective practice as well as dialoguing with the teacher if they were in the same location and not several hours away from each other. If you're seeking instruction for guitar, or anything for that matter, take your time. If it's something requiring more than a single demonstration or class, especially if it will become an ongoing commitment, you really need to find the right instructor for you. If you have definite criteria, like Nancy does, that you wish to see met, you need to lay that out for your instructor. You'll be able to gather a few things from a conversation like that. You will see if the instructor is flexible in their approach, which, depending on your demands, may be a good thing or not such a good thing. You will also learn what the big picture is to the instructor and what their general goals are for their students. I suggest, too, that if you are not prepared to take a weekly lesson, you be upfront with any instructor you contact. I can tell you, it will probably be a deal breaker for the good ones. Not all of them, but most of them are not going to teach you unless it's weekly. What is a teacher supposed to do with that downtime, that every other week that you're not taking your lesson? And, you know, suppose you have to put your lesson off one more week and they've allotted that time. It just becomes a total scheduling nightmare. I hate my job one time a year, and that's when we're moving from August to September, and it's not the work that I abhor. It's trying to make a schedule that everyone can live with.
And it's so frustrating, because everybody wants Wednesday at 6:30
or Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and everyone would be happy if every day of the week was Wednesday. So it's real distasteful. It's very hard. People have busy lives. Teachers aren't good teachers are not sitting around twiddling their thumbs. I'm very grateful for that, I must say. And every other week lesson is something you have to be upfront with any potential instructor about. Choosing someone with whom you will meet weekly, I hope, for an undetermined amount of time in the future requires you doing your research well to ensure that you as a student or the parent of a student and your instructor are a good fit. It's not always true. You can have a great instructor and someone who's perfectly equipped to learn, and you may not work well together. When in our email exchange I asked Nancy how Larry would feel about changing teachers, she indicated that he was ambivalent. That lack of bonding, respect, shared interest, whatever you want to call it, for the instructor is something that sent up a red flag to me. I don't know how enthused Larry is about this whole process, and I'm very concerned that there isn't some kind of real respect for his teacher and closeness. I don't mean something untoward. It's just that, I know that not every musical instrument teacher gets close to their students, but I, for one, do. It escapes me that working with someone's best interest for their playing at heart and a student desiring to glean all the knowledge and ability they can, that a student and teacher wouldn't become fond of one another. That's another reason for taking your time and choosing very carefully. This may be a relationship you're going to live with for, the foreseeable future, or a year or 2 years or 6 years or 10 years. Choose wisely. Approach it like you're making a gigantic investment, which if you consider over the period of time you're going to be paying for lessons, you actually are. For more suggestions on how to find a qualified instructor that might be the right one for you, please visit the Find a Teacher page on my website. I wish Larry and Nancy the best, and I hope they resolve this issue soon, and I hope that Larry and Nancy both flourish as guitarists and are both sitting under the instruction of sound and learned and wise instructors. Well, with lightning clapping and rain torrenting, I don't know if you can hear the rain on the mic, that wraps up this week's segments of episode 076. So let's go to the outro and wrap this baby up. It's kind of funny to say with rain pelting against my windows to keep humidifying your guitars, unless you have consistent humidity over 40% in the room in which your guitar remains. Les Paul's birthday bash is just days away. You still have time to get a ticket for the night of celebration, light refreshments, birthday cake, and great music. Don't forget the auctions too. I'll be enjoying one newly DR'd guitar this week. Maybe I'll restring the other one too. Congrats on you, you rock! I'm glad you put in the effort and had such a great result. If you're in the market for a beautiful looking and sounding jumbo, check out the retro looking Epiphone AJ220S. There's nothing old fashioned about it. Enrich yourself and grow as a musician by listening to horn players and vocalists. For heaven's sake, take your time choosing a teacher, or you may wind up not with thunder crashing, but with a situation like Nancy and Larry's. Students and valued listeners, I want to thank you once again for your time and for joining me for episode 076 of the Guitar Technique Tutor Podcast. I hope you heard something thought-provoking, instructional, and/or entertaining. I will include links to everything I mentioned that I think you might like to explore further in the show notes. Don't forget that my website is guitartechniquetutor.com, all spelled traditionally, GUITARTECHNIQUETUTOR.com, and that you can reach me by email at guitartechnique@gmail.com. Please note, there's no tutor in the email address. Don't hesitate to email me your question for the Question of the Week segment. If I use your question, I will be delighted to send you a Guitar Technique Tutor podcast pick or two. You can follow me on Twitter, where I'm Guitar Technique. I'm not always tweeting, but I put up what I think is interesting when it occurs, or retweet what I think is interesting that I receive. On my homepage and on the podcast page of my website, you can find links to subscribe to the podcast in a variety of ways, and or to subscribe to the show notes by email or a reader. If you're seeking expert, competent guitar instruction in the Bergen and Rockland County towns in which I teach, such as Airmont, Allendale, Fairlawn, Franklin Lakes, Glen Rock, Hawthorne, Hohokus, Hillburn, Mahwah, Midland Park, Montebello, Montvale, Oakland, Oradell, Paramus, Park Ridge, Ramsey, Ridgewood, River Edge, Saddle River, Suffern, Tallman, Teaneck, Upper Saddle River, Waldwick, Washington Township, Westwood, Woodcliff Lake, or Wyckoff, please contact me. For lesson inquiries, I hope I made my point earlier, calling is definitely best, and my number's on the website. If we can coordinate our schedules and you're a good candidate to learn to play the guitar, perhaps we can work together. Practice, have a great week, and until next time, I'm your host, D.A. Arliss, doing my part to spread the excellence one guitarist at a time. Hey, Glen Rock High School peeps, I'm so sorry I missed the reunion. Maybe next time.